Hello, everybody. This is Chris Wilson with CriticalBench.com. I am here today to talk with Mr. John Rowley about the wonderful new book out by Steve and Becky Holman called Old School, New Body. And there's a lot that we can discuss about the book, but first I want to at least ask John, I'll tell you a little bit about John and then let him let you know a little bit more than what I'm able to tell you. John is a full-time author. And by the way, I'm cheating because I'm looking on the back of one of his books. He's a full-time author, speaker. He does television and radio. He's the wellness. Are you still the wellness director for the ISSA?
Yes, I am.
So you're obviously very busy. He's a public relations director for Powerhouse Gyms International. He's contributed to Martha Stewart, Fox News, Smart Money, Wall Street Journal, sometimes referred to as America's lifestyle strategist, and he's still in North Carolina with his wife, Kathy, I believe.
That's correct.
All right. So beyond that, John, what else should we know about you?
Well, first off, you got to realize that you can't believe everything you read on the back of a book. So.
Okay. Uh-oh. Okay. I'm already failed.
Well, basically, let me touch base on Old School New Body first, and then we can get into my background. Basically, the way Old School New Body came about is I hurt my C6 vertebrae, and I ended up losing the use of my left arm for 18 months. And I had a bad accident years ago, and I'll get into that in a bit. But I reached out to Steve Holman, who's the editor-in-chief of IMA Magazine. I knew he was about my age. And he was experimenting with some lighter weight, shorter rest type of training. And the funny thing is, it was a type of training that we did back in the 70s and early 80s. And so I started talking to him about it, and I started training that way again. I started regaining my strength, and I was able to rehab my C6 vertebrae without having to get any surgery with the help of a chiropractor. And then I called Steve up, and I said, hey, listen, why don't we do a product called Old School New Body? So it was my idea, my concept. We put it together. It's just that Steve and Becky look better on the cover than I do. So we
Yeah, I guess he still looks fantastic. Obviously, he's been doing all the right things over the years. But so you really were the impetus for this project.
Yeah, we were both kind of going down the same path at the same time as far as changes in our training. And another buddy of ours, Doug Bringoli, former Mr. Universe, he was doing the same thing. And a lot of guys our age are starting to look back to the way we used to do things. And with that, let me touch on my story a little bit, because I know that's what you originally asked.
Yeah.
Basically, in the late 70s, I was a top runner. I went to college on an athletic scholarship. I was a 400, 800-meter runner. And in 1979, the year before the Olympic trials, I had a near-fatal car accident. I fell asleep behind the wheel. I was training three times a day, working, 60 to 80 hours a week for my dad, kind of getting ready to go back to school for the summer and at the end of the summer. And was burning the candle at both ends, fell asleep behind the wheel. And they said that I probably fell asleep about a mile and a half before I actually crashed. And drove head on into a tree. They said somewhere between 90 and 110 miles an hour. So that ended my running career, basically crushed my dreams along with my body. My right hand ended up back by my elbow. My left foot was crushed beyond belief. They said I'd never walk on it again. They said I'd never use my right arm again. All my ribs were broken. My breastbone was split in half by 3.5 inches. And I lost my nose. My nose was completely severed from my face. So, so basically I had to rebuild my body. So that's a long story in and of itself. And basically what I did is after some time, my father got me a job as a janitor in Brooklyn. And I worked as a janitor in Brooklyn to basically just get out of the house a little bit. So I was on a walker. And then I was going down to a gym in Brooklyn called R&J Health Studio, which is where the movie Pumping Iron was filmed. So
of course. Classic.
Yeah, rehab back then was non-existent. So I did my own rehab in the gym at home, wherever I could do it. And then after a few years of working as a janitor, I decided I wanted to go in and conquer the world of Manhattan real estate. After about 300 interviews, I found one company foolish enough to hire me. And within a year and a half, I think, I was the youngest senior vice president ever in Manhattan real estate. And then shortly after that, I went back to Brooklyn and bought the gym that I was training in. I bought the gym that Pumping Iron was filmed in. So for the last 30 or 35 years, I've had my foot at a pretty high level in business, and then at a pretty high level in the fitness industry, because I was involved with the International Federation of Bodybuilding and the National Physique Committee, as well as owning the gym and being a contributor to some of the various magazines. So I'm in kind of a unique position where I wasn't just a gym rat. I was actually a very high-end business executive that happened to be a gym rat.
which is a great place to be. That's where Mike and I hope to be at some point. With Mike Westerdahl, I'm referring to the owner operator of Critical Bench. When you can put those two, and obviously you go into that in some of your own books, The Power of Positive Fitness, into kind of maximizing all phases of your life to have a truly healthy life. And I'll get into that with some questions as we go along. I guess my next question would be, after getting some of your history, is have you ever collaborated with Steve and Becky Holman before, or is this the first time?
No, it's the first time. Steve is the editor-in-chief of I Am Man magazine. Becky is his wife, and she's a contributor to the magazine. To my knowledge, Becky's never done a book before. And
gotcha.
Steve has done more of more hardcore bodybuilding type ebooks for that niche for the Iron Man magazine hardcore bodybuilding niche, and I don't know that he ever even thought about doing something along these lines, but after we after we were talking about it he figured he'd give it a shot with me, and it's done very, very well. It's one of the best selling products on the internet. And the funny thing is, people look at it. One of the names I wanted to name this book was Back to the Future Fitness, because basically all we're doing is going back to the way things used to be done.
Right.
And that's why the movie Pumping Iron was called Pumping Iron, because back then they literally, they pumped their muscles up. They did lighter weights. They did shorter. They did shorter rest periods. They kept the tension on the muscle a longer period of time. And then over a period of years, between the abuse of drugs and various other things, people have gotten away from that and have gone more into the heavy, crazy type lifting. And there's nothing wrong with that if you want to be a power lifter or whatever else. But
right.
For me, over the years, it's taken its toll on my body. And the same thing with Steve. It took his toll on his body. And as you get older, you can still lift heavy like that if you do it carefully and safely. And I know you guys talk about that with Critical Bench and all. And there's a time and a place for that as well. But this product is more for the guys who've got beat up joints, who want to build their muscles. They're not necessarily interested in being the strongest guy in the gym. They just want to be the best looking guy in the gym.
And feel good, though. And obviously, the book does get into that, too. It's not just about the look. It's about how you feel, the joints, and feeling rejuvenated and feeling like you can still move your body without being in pain.
Exactly. I'm 53 years old, and I feel this is probably the best I've ever felt in my life. I feel phenomenal. My joints are feeling great. My muscles are full. I got into the heavy duty training back in the late 80s, early 90s. I was pretty good friends with Dorian Yates, who was the Mr. Olympia at the time. I was good friends with Mike Mentzer, who was, the Mr. Heavy Duty, who taught about these, very short, brief, intense training. And my body did respond well to it. I went from 190 pounds to about 235 pounds with a pretty low body fat.
Wow.
But I was in my late 20s, early 30s. My body responded well to it, probably because I was overtrained from before. And and that's one of the things as well. Back in the 70s and early 80s, even though they did lighter weights and everything else, they did a lot of training. You know, they would train for a couple of hours a day, 6 days a week. And what Old School New Body has done is taken the science of bodybuilding, but put it into a compressed time frame, which is really all the average person needs.
Right.
You know, 3 30-minute workouts a week, and the average person could be lean and muscular, look great. And some people will say, well, you know, what if you want to really be big and be like a bodybuilder? You can do it with this program, because the bottom line is Dorian Yates, I knew him pretty well. He trained 4 times a week for 30 to 40 minutes at a time, and he was 290 pounds with 3% body fat.
Oh, he was amazing. I mean, he had one of the most impressive, probably still to this day, his back was probably one of the widest, most tapered back I've ever seen. But I remember looking at some of his workout routines, and they seemed very he was all about the intensity. He would do a lot of low rep sets with an extraordinary amount of weight, but it was kind of an in-and-out guy. You know,
exactly.
Get in, get out.
And that's what this program is all about. This program is all about taking a weight that will challenge you for 10 reps and just doing 3 or 4 sets of it like that with 30-second rest in between. And I'll tell you something. When you work out this way, it's actually a harder workout than it is when you lift heavy. You know, when I used to lift really heavy and, you know, take 3 or 4 minute rest between sets, that's actually a pretty easy way to work out. This is way more challenging, taking a shorter rest, really putting the demand on your muscle. And the bottom line is most of us want to stimulate the muscle. Most of us are really not interested in doing a powerlifting competition. And if you are, you need to train a little differently. But for this type of training, and a lot of people say, well, this must be for the, you know, 40-plus crowd. No, if you're 20 or 30 years old or 18 years old and you've trained this way, you're going to get a great effect. The reason we're appealing to the 40-plus market is because we're 40-plus people.
Right, exactly. Right, you're speaking from experience, right?
Exactly.
So, I wanted to that there was a point in there that I wanted to elaborate on. I'll come back to it. I'm sure I will. There is one point that Steve and Becky make in the book about that myth that men and women should be doing different things to achieve a result of health, you know, of physical health. You know, and what's your feeling on that?
Well, 30 years ago when my wife and I got married, we started working out together. And her thing was always, I don't want to look like a football player. I don't want to get big, muscular. I don't want to look like a big football player. And I can tell you, my wife has been working out with me for 30 years. She works out either identically or similar to me, depending on the type of workout we're following. You know, typically we work out together. Recently we have not been. But her workout is very, very similar to mine. And my wife, we're married 30 years. She weighs, I think, about 2 pounds more than she did when we first got married. And I'll tell you right now, the 2 pounds is muscle, not fat. And she does not look like a football player. She looks phenomenal. So, and she's a grandmother. So, you know, the answer to that, and Becky, the same thing. You know, Becky and Steve are married, I think, 29 or 30 years. And, you know, Kathy and Becky work out pretty similar. And they don't look like football players. They look every bit as much as women. And they work out the same as Steve and I. So the bottom line is women need to work out, but there's a reason for it. Women need to work out because they need to build their muscles, because, you know, there's a lot of talk today in the media about metabolism. But bottom line is that metabolism is just a fancy name for your muscle mass. The more muscle you have, the more calories you burn at rest. So if you have muscle, that's what your metabolism is. And you also need to put, you know, resistance on your body for your bones to be strong. There's so many women today that have, you know, osteoporosis, whatever else, as they get older, their bones start getting brittle, whereas doing resistance training eliminates that. And plus, you need to be strong. Like, my grandmother was 105 years old, actually a few weeks short of being 105 years old when she passed away a few years ago. And I had asked her once, what was the secret to long life? And she said the secret to long life was keeping her legs strong. And that's the bottom line. Women do need to be strong. They're not going to look like men. It's a fallacy that you're going to look like men. And I think that fallacy right now is starting to disappear. I think more and more women are starting to realize that in order to be lean, fit, and vibrant, they do need to do resistance training.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you said it best when you said, you know, it's all about metabolism, and metabolism is muscle mass. I mean, your body functions at such a higher level when you're at rest, when you have that lean tissue, and you're just burning calories so much more effectively. And I think if people just understood that the science behind, or the biology, a little bit better, it would be like a light bulb going off. People are just becoming, hopefully, now a little bit more enlightened about their own body, because it seems like people know more about technology that they use on a daily basis than the body that they walk around in.
I agree with you, and also, you know, it's very profitable to confuse health and fitness. Health and fitness is a $200 billion a year business.
Wow.
So it pays to confuse people. And the bottom line is, eating should be the most basic thing. You know, God created food for us to eat. It should be the most basic, common sense thing to do is to eat. But people are out there trying to make eating and exercise confusing because they want to sell more products. And the thing is, guys like you and Mike and me, we're out there trying to educate people on common sense ways to do this, not trying to confuse it. And I think that's the bottom line. The more we can get out there and get a voice out there of how unconfusing it is and give people the truth, I think people are going to become healthier. But, you know, bottom line is it's very profitable to confuse people today.
Well said. My next question obviously goes into the book itself, and it's based on three phases that make up these workout modules that Steve and Becky have put together: the lean phase, the shape phase, the build phase. Do you care to go into some detail maybe about the thinking behind those three phases?
Well, the thinking behind those three things is really just to give people options. My take on the whole thing is I'd rather see somebody, and my company handles the customer service for this, so I see a lot of the customer service questions and all. And my take is I'd rather see somebody become familiar with the old school new body principles, and then implement those principles into their schedule the best they see fit. Now, Steve and I work out on different types of schedules. We don't follow the same kind of schedule, but we both utilize the principles. So I'd rather see people utilize the principles. What those phases are is basically taking the principles within the book and just giving them a little different type of a workout structure so people
gotcha.
Can either get it done a little bit quickly or a little more efficiently. One of them is if somebody wants to take it a little more seriously and add some more muscle, obviously it's a little more intense with some more exercises. But they're all done in a very short time frame. They're all utilizing the same principles. And you know, personality comes into play. You know, Steve is a very structured engineering type personality. You know, he's an editor of a magazine.
Right.
He can follow the same workout for the rest of his life and be happy. You know, he works out Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. He works certain body parts on certain days. You know, he obviously mixes the muscles around. He has an intelligent approach. I'm not saying that. But his personality is way more structured than mine. You know, I'm an ADD entrepreneur. I get bored very, very easily. So I'm constantly changing things around. So the bottom line is the results are the same. It's just a matter of taking the principles and putting them into your lifestyle in a way it makes fit. So basically we've just given three different options to people of ways to fit it into their lifestyle. But anybody who's listening, I want to encourage you to really, instead of focusing on the F1, F2, whatever that is, you know, the different schedules, focus on the principles. And then once you know the principles, then you'll know how to implement it into your own lifestyle.
Right. Absolutely. Well, that definitely helps. I think it's giving people the chocolate, strawberry, and vanilla option, and all are terrific. And it's just different ways to go about, you know, getting healthy.
Well, that's really exactly right. What we wanted to do is we wanted to take the thinking out of it. This way, okay, this is what I want to do. And you know, if somebody comes to the book and has never worked out before, we want them to start with the first phase, then go to the second. They're progressive. then go to the second phase, then go to the third phase. But the bottom line is, through this, we want to educate people. You know, we've got videos and stuff that come with the program. We want to educate people so they don't necessarily have to follow the phases after a while. They can kind of say, okay, you know what? I want to work out 4 days a week. This is how I want to split it up. And then just do it. Like, I work out 6 days a week. Steve works out 4 days a week. And quite honestly, I think both of us will get the same results if we worked out 3 days a week. It's just a matter. It's just a matter of our personality. Me personally, I like getting into the gym. I work out with my son and my daughter, so it just gives me time with my kids. It's kind of therapy for me. So 6 days a week, it's, you know, instead of going to see a shrink, I go to the gym and work out.
And I've come across some people that have been in fitness at all different capacities over the years, and when they've established that foundation of health, it seems like they're able to really, I don't want to say limit how much time they spend exercising a week, but they have such a good background in it that they just do all the right things in those short periods of time, maybe it's just two or three times a week, and their bodies continue to look fantastic, and obviously their eating habits are still very good, and it's less is more, it almost seems.
Absolutely right. There's a guy named Clarence Bass out there. He's a nice guy, old friend of mine. He's probably, I don't know how old he is now, but he's probably in his 80s, late 70s. And he works out twice a week, has for years. And, you know, he works out very intensely when he works out. And the bottom line is, you know, you can see people in the gym doing all types of workout schedules. And even me, myself, you know, I've worked out various different ways. When I see the major, the best changes in my body is when I'm combining a sound exercise approach with good nutrition. I can be working out properly and not watching what I'm eating, and I'll see very little changes in my body. But when I combine the two, that's when I really see the big changes. And nutrition is so important. It's overlooked. You know, you can work out hard and see very little changes in your body if you don't watch what you eat. So eating is critical. It's simple, but it's critical. You need to eat properly in order to be able to see those changes. To basically have the time in the gym pay you off, you need to eat properly. And if you don't, you're not going to see the changes.
Exactly. And that pretty much goes right into my next question, was about our country going backwards in regards to health and fitness, and with obesity being still such a growing problem, no pun intended. It's almost like we're in worse shape now than we were in the 50s.
We are, because I'm not political and I hate getting into politics, but we've got, you know, the government has their fingers in too many darn things, and one of them is the health food pyramid. You know, the last person I want giving me advice on how to eat is these congressmen and senators. They're all
right.
They're all fat, obese, and they can't even move. And I don't want them telling me how to eat. And the bottom line is you've got so many people. You know, I used to work for a senator for a very short period of time when I was in real estate. He owned a real estate company, and I saw the way the different food organizations go and pay money to these, you know, to these organizations, to these government organizations. Bottom line is, you've got too many people lobbying in Washington to try to get a priority on our food pyramid. And I'm gonna give you in 30 seconds the way you should eat. And if you eat like this, you'll be healthy and lean for life. Eat protein, preferably good lean protein like chicken, fish, blah blah blah. The less legs it has, the healthier. So start with fish, zero legs. Then you go to chicken. Then you can go to the four-legged animals. And I eat a good bit of beef. I'm not saying that you shouldn't eat beef or bison, but the less legs, the less fat, and the healthier the fat is. But bottom line is, lean chicken, lean protein. Eat all the green vegetables that you want. Depending on where your body fat is, one or two pieces of fruit, or limit the fruit. If you have no body fat problem, eat all the fruit that you want. I've never seen anybody get fat eating fruit. Complex carbohydrates, brown rice, yams, potatoes, things like that, they're fine for you. Again, but if you've got a body fat problem, limit those. So protein and vegetables, eat all you want. Fruit and complex carbs, pay attention to the way your body responds to them. And that's the bottom line. You want to lose weight, cut the complex carbs way back. And that's how you eat. protein and vegetables. If you eat that and then watch the other stuff, I think I went over my 30-second limit. But that's it.
Well,
you don't need a whole book
okay.
to learn how to eat.
I love to be enlightened myself. So it's always good to just reinforce those points to people about how to get healthy with nutrition. And it's like you said, it is simple.
There's finer points, obviously. You don't want to put muscle on, and you want to pay attention to the timing of your complex carbohydrates so your muscles are full. Obviously, there's finer points. But the average American doesn't need to worry about finer points right now. The average American needs to worry about going from obese to healthy. And to go
Absolutely.
From obese to healthy, just eat like that. When you start getting to the point where you've got some muscle mass and you want to look better on the beach, then you can start paying attention to the finer points. But those are irrelevant for 98% of Americans at this point. We need to just get healthy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And obviously, there's a lot besides the old school New Body book. There are several other bonus materials that people are receiving with this, which go into that nutrition and giving people lots of delicious options, which I was pretty impressed with.
Oh, yeah. We're trying to make it easy on people. And, let's face it, when you eat, you want to eat something that tastes good. So, yeah, we've got nutrition advice in there. We've got some menu advice in there. The workouts are phenomenal. And the thing I like about this book is it's plain and simple. It's not a science textbook. It tells you what to do. It gives you the reasoning behind it. It's simple and easy to read. And you can get going with the Quick Start Guide. You could be up and running in 10 minutes. You open a Quick Start Guide, find out what to do, and go and do it, and then read a little bit of the book a little bit at a time. The bottom line is we wanted to make it simple. We wanted to make it effective and something that's going to be healthy for people for the rest of their lives. We have people,
right.
we're getting emails from people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s how their bodies have been changed in a very short period of time where in the past they've never, ever been able to do it before.
Yeah, that's I think what I found most appealing about the product when I was really reviewing it and spending some time looking at it was exactly what you've just said, and that kind of brings me to what my next question is about the balance that people are missing in their life, and you've mentioned it in your book, The Power of Positive Fitness, about bringing that balance into your life with all those, the physical, mental, spiritual health. Does Old School New Body create that balance that people are missing?
Old School New Body is an exercise and nutrition program. It's not really a lifestyle thing like I get into in my other books.
Right,
It's more of an exercise type thing. But the bottom line is, the Bible says that we're body, mind, and spirit. And
right.
the Old School New Body part takes into consideration the body part. But keep in mind, your mind and your spirit are housed in your body. So if your body feels terrible, your mind and your spirit are going to follow. And we do get into some motivational stuff and habit transformation type stuff in Old School New Body. Not too deep, but we do get into those things. But if you start feeling better physically, then you're going to be more effective in other areas of your life, and you're going to be able to start having a more positive mental outlook. And, it's funny. I was on a missionist trip to China one time, and we were there for 3 long weeks, almost 4 weeks. And there were people there that I looked to as spiritual elders to myself, mentors. But what I realized is after about 3 or 4 days of being there and working hard, their spiritualist went out the window, man. As soon as they started getting physically tired, nobody acted the way they acted like at home when they're well rested. All of a sudden, people started bickering. It was absolutely amazing to me, and it made me realize just how important it was to be physically fit. Because if you're not physically fit, regardless of how disciplined you are, the other areas of your life will start being affected. And then there's also another thing I want to touch on, Chris. And you and I don't work standard jobs anymore, but when I was in Manhattan real estate, I worked with people that were highly educated. I was a janitor that became, a real estate guy. But everybody I competed against either went to Harvard, Wharton, or Yale, or some type of a good Ivy League school. And I saw people that were so out of balance, it was unbelievable. Number one, most of them were divorced, but they were so out of balance. And the reason why people get out of balance is because they're not in the moment. And what I mean by that is when people are home, they're not present with their wives and kids or whoever they're with because they didn't do what they were supposed to do at work. So then they get back to work, and they're not as effective at work because they're not in the moment, because they're worrying about the fight that they had with their wife or the kid that's not doing so well in school because they weren't present when they were home. If people just paid attention to where they were at when they were there, they'd be able to be effective. And, well, you know, you see that true when you're having conversations with people today. I don't know about you, but when I talk to most people are not even present in the conversation. They're scanning the room to see if there's somebody more interesting they can talk to. If people just started focusing on being in the moment when they were there, be with your wife when you're with your wife. Be with your kids when you be with your kids. Be with your friends when we're your friends. And when you're at work, for goodness sake, do what you're paid to do. And if people just started doing that, they all of a sudden they would see their stress go out the window. That's just my two cents on that.
No, that was more. That was a dollar. That was more than 2 cents. I couldn't agree anymore with that one. People are always looking to the past or to what's coming next, and they have a really hard time, it seems, to just be satisfied with what's in front of them. And sometimes I have to remind myself of that. But you know, I'm married. I have a small child. I love my job. I love what I do. But I love my time away from work as well. And I try to always enjoy what I'm doing in the moment, and when I don't, it's evident, and I have to kind of kick myself. I wanted to, you know, obviously slowing down the aging process, because this book does kind of target, like we mentioned earlier, is, you know, that 35 to 70 range person, and it sounds great, slowing down the aging process. What's your feeling about really getting fit, like you have done for yourself and Steve? Can people buy into that? Can people who feel like they've not done anything for themselves for 20 years in terms of physical fitness, are they going to have a hard time buying into this, that this can change them?
Not if they try it. In fact, the person out there, you know, I hate to say this, but I'm almost envious of people who are my age who haven't exercised yet and then start exercising, because the results that they see are so overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, I've been doing this, you know, I've been exercising since I'm a kid. You know, I started lifting weights when I was 14, had a brief reprieve when I was recovering from that accident. Well, it wasn't so brief, it was a few years, but for the most part, I've exercised my whole life. And, you know, my results, you know, they come in spits and spurts, but, you know, I've got to change things consistently. But the average person who hasn't exercised and they all of a sudden they start doing something, they see such radical changes in their body that's so exciting. So no, if somebody tries it, it's not going to take much to convince them.
Right. And you notice that I've been in the fitness industry for several years, and you notice it with the young kids, even sometimes the 15, 16, 17 year olds in the gym, and they've never done really an ounce of weight training or anything. And you see them in just a matter of a month, and they got muscles all of a sudden, and they walk a little taller. You know, I just recently, the job I was at, I was a general manager of a fitness center. And this one young guy, he was not really talkative, and all of a sudden he starts coming over and talking with me. It seemed like his whole outlook just seemed to change. And I think that is really, really neat for people who haven't invested, you know, in themselves in terms of fitness. And when they turn that corner, they realize, wow, you know, like my whole life is different.
Oh, it affects every area of life. When I went into Manhattan real estate, I was, you know, I don't know, 210, 220, probably 10% body fat. I was in really good shape, and I was confident. So I would walk into a boardroom, and I would be in the boardroom on Park Avenue with all these people that were highly educated, and I'd take my jacket off. This is back in the days when you had the pinstripe shirts with the suspenders.
Oh, sure.
And I'd take my jacket off. I'd be big and muscular. Everybody else out there, they have their fat bellies hanging over their waist. I'm standing up firm and fit. I'm confident. I'm addressing the board of directors with confidence. And everybody looked at me as I was a leader. Bottom line was, 2 weeks earlier, I was a janitor. I didn't know how to read a financial statement. I had no idea what minutes were. In fact, my very first day on the job, I was asked to do the minutes for a board meeting at 7 Park Avenue. I'll never forget this. Next day, I'm at work. Mr. Harris shouts across the office. Now, Mr. Harris was the only one in the office at the time who knew what my background was. And he goes, Mr. Rowley, do you have the minutes ready for me? And I said, yes, sir. And he goes, good, can you have them on my desk in an hour? Now, I wanted to impress him. I was in Manhattan real estate on Madison Avenue, one of the top three companies on Madison Avenue. I did not want to go back to Brooklyn and be a janitor. So I wanted to impress the man. I said, Mr. Harris, I could do one better. 72 minutes. And he starts laughing. Oh, you're a card. You're going to lighten this place up. Well, I had no idea what was funny. I go into my office. My secretary comes in, slams the door behind me, leans over my desk like a pit bull. And she goes, you timed the meeting? And I said, yeah. And she goes, you have no idea what the minutes are. And I said, well, based on your rosy personality, I'm assuming it wasn't timing the meeting. What is it? She goes, it's the corporate records. It's the most important thing that we have. It's part of our legal bond with these buildings. We need to do blah. And she starts carrying on. And I was like, well, you know, I got a mind like a steel trap. Let's do them. So we did the minutes, and I, you know, survived that fiasco. But the bottom line was, is the night before I'm in a board meeting, everybody was listening to me like I was the expert. And it was because I was physically there, and I was vibrant. And I'll tell you something right now. Everybody's looking at our economy, and they're saying, oh, you know, what's the currency in today's economy? Is it the American dollar? Is it the euro? Is it gold? Is it silver? What are we looking at? No. The currency in today's economy is human performance. And if you are not taking care of yourself, you're destroying your economy. So take that for what it's worth. But today's economy is human performance. Those who perform are having an economy. Those who did not perform are not having an economy, whether you're working for yourself or working for somebody else. And I'll tell you right now, if you're not physically fit and vibrant, you are absolutely shortcutting and shortchanging yourself and your family's income, because you cannot perform when you're not physically fit.
Wow, these are great points. I'm glad.
Now, Chris, ask me, and I'll tell you what I really mean. I have an opinion.
Now I'll tell you what I really think. Oh no, that was more than I could have asked for. I think that's also. I mean, we covered a lot. I think that's a great point to kind of end at, just because You know, we covered the book. I think we've spoken enough about what's in the book, what people should expect, and kind of all the thinking that people need to do in their own life when it comes to how something just as simple as getting fitness to be part of it. At all, because, you know, a lot of people that have, you know, there's how many, 300 million people in this country, and probably two-thirds of them don't even exercise.
I agree. So, I want to point out to everybody also, is Old School New Body was not my attempt at writing a book. In fact, yeah. I wrote part of it, but Steve wrote most of it, and you know, we collaborated on it. I worked behind the scenes on other things. But the bottom line is, I have two books that are bestsellers out on the bookstores. I've got books that are on end caps and bookstores. I didn't need to do this book because I wanted to have a book out there. The reason I did this book, it was a work of passion. It was something that worked in my life. It was something that helped me restore my body to the way I needed it to be. And it was a work of passion. I felt people needed to have this message. And I'll be working on other projects as well. But this one is an important one, because people my age need to really restore their bodies so they can restore their lives. And life is not over after 40 or 50. In fact, I'm 53. I feel better than I've ever felt in my life. And I've got friends of mine who are talking about retirement. Yeah. I'm like, retirement, man? I don't want to retire. I've got so many things I want to do. But the bottom line is when you're exhausted physically, you've got to retire, because you've got nothing left to offer.
That's
and
right.
I'm telling people, yep. The people out there right now in their 50s and 60s, you got a lot more to offer, but you need to take care of your body so you can really bring what you've got to the world. And if you don't do that, in my opinion, you're being selfish. Because yeah. most of us that are, as we age, we have so much lifetime experiences that we can give back to the world. And it's critical. And one of the things that you sent me an email and you'd asked me what my, you know, I've had some success in my life, what my, one of the formulas that I look at for success. And I want, in closing, I just want to tell you, I've been up and I've been down. But I'll tell you, the most important thing is when I give things to God, things always turn around. So my secret to success would be, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You look to God, God will take care of everything else. But God can't bless your steps if you're not walking, so you got to walk. You need to take care of your body. You need to take care of your emotions. You got to take care of your family. Take responsibility for your life. So my message to everybody is always really this. Personal responsibility, whether it be for your body or your finances or whatever else it is. Take personal responsibility. Don't give it to the government. Don't give it to anybody else. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. I thank you so much for your time, Mr. John Rowley, everybody. And, you know, thank you for sharing 45 minutes with CriticalBench.com and letting us know a little bit more about Old School, New Body. And we thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Chris. I'm a big fan of you, yours and Mike's and Critical Bench. I've been following you guys for a long time. You know I'm good friends with Mike and love you guys. And just want to let people know that you can go old school and get that new body.
That's perfect. That's right, baby. All right. Well, you have a wonderful day, John. And thank you, listeners. I hope you enjoy this terrific audio that we got today. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
How did that go?